Returning again to that portion of Scripture which we read earlier in Exodus chapter 18. Today I want to draw your attention to Jethro's counsel to Moses. Take a look there at Exodus chapter 18 and verse 17 to 19. We read these words, "And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to deal with this subject this afternoon. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy word. And we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And O God, we pray as we turn to this portion of scripture in Exodus chapter 18 that you would bless it to our hearts, instruct us. And O God, we pray that you would speak to our very souls. We thank thee, Lord, for each head bowed in your presence. We pray, O God, that you would come and meet us all at the very point of our need. We thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. We believe it to be the word of God. And O God, we pray today as we turn to its sacred page, Lord, that you would be pleased, Lord, to anoint us afresh with thy power. Lord, teach us, instruct us, guide us. We pray, Lord, that in these days you would help us, Lord, to live for thee. We've only one life, it'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. O God, teach us that truth this day. Bless us now, we pray thee. We ask thee, Lord, that you would hide man far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In Exodus chapter 18, we have the father-in-law of Moses, Jethro, being reunited with Moses. When this reunion took place, not only was Jethro reunited with Moses, but also Moses' wife and two sons were reunited with him as well. This reunion was a time of harmony and a time of blessing in the family of Moses. It was also a time of great rejoicing, because after Moses told Jethro how the Lord had blessed and delivered the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, they rejoiced together in the goodness and in the mercy of the Lord. And after worshipping the Lord, there was a great time of sweet fellowship, which Aaron and all the elders of Israel took part. We're not sure how long Jethro remained with Moses at this time in the wilderness. However, we do know, because of what we read at the latter part of this chapter, that before Jethro said his farewells to Moses, that he gave Moses counsel and advice. Indeed, in this 18th chapter of the book of Exodus, Jethro's counsel to Moses is spoken of in great detail. And we have that counsel that he gave to Moses at the latter end of this chapter. Very simply today, I want to draw your attention to Jethro's counsel to Moses. This counsel that Jethro gave Moses was given after Jethro saw the great workload that Moses had to undertake each day among the children of Israel. Very simply, as we consider this subject this afternoon, there's a number of things that I want you to notice. And I pray that the Lord will bless this study and this passage of Scripture to all of our hearts. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And although this perhaps is not a well-known passage of Scripture, not a well-known incident in the Bible, I pray still that the Lord will take his word and instruct us and teach us And I pray that as we leave God's house today, that we leave saying it was good to be here, for it was here where we met afresh with the Lord, where the Lord spoke to our hearts. What do we learn here? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that the counsel that Jethro gave to Moses, it was good, sensible, practical counsel. Take a look again with me there at verses 17 and 18. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for the thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." Jethro recognized that if Moses went on the way he was going, that he was going to wear himself out. Because Moses was doing all the work himself. Take a look at verse 14. And again, this is emphasized. "And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone?'" Underline that. "And all the people stand by thee from morning until even." Therefore, Jethro counsels Moses here to get help. Take a look at verse 19, and you'll see this. "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." Look at verse 22. "And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." Look at verse 23. "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." Here we have Jethro, I believe, giving Moses good, sensible, practical advice and counsel. Child of God, there's no such a thing as a one-man ministry. Good government means sharing the load. And in the Lord's work, one man cannot do it all, nor should he attempt to do it all, nor should he be allowed to do it all. That's why in the Presbyterian form of government, which we believe is scriptural, elders and deacons are elected to serve in the church. And of course, when you read the beginning of the New Testament church, you learn that very quickly after it was established, that elders were elected in all the churches. The workload was spread out, in other words. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23, a text of scripture that draws our attention to this fact, it says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church." And again, you can see there how the workload was spread out among a number of men. You know, you'll notice that when the Lord Jesus began his public ministry, he chose 12 disciples. And then after that, he chose 70 others and sent them out two by two. We read that in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. You see, the Lord Jesus also recognized the need for help in the Lord's work. Therefore, this counsel from Jethro in Exodus chapter 18 was good, wise counsel. He recognized that if Moses kept on going the way he was going, then he was going to wear himself out. And he would not endure. And that's why he gives Moses this counsel at this time. And of course, as I have emphasized, in practical terms, it meant a number of things. It meant that decision making would be done swifter. It meant that Moses would have more help and that he would be able to endure, because you've got to remember that Moses at this time was 80 years of age. And it also meant that the burden would be shared and that the camp of Israel would run more smoothly and more efficiently. So here we have this man, Jethro, and he's giving Moses some good counsel and advice. Now, I want you to notice something else here. And you'll notice very, very simply, if you take a look there at Exodus chapter 18 again, you will notice that this counsel that Jethro gave to Moses, it was God-honoring counsel. God-honoring counsel. I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, it was God-honoring counsel because Jethro wanted God's will to be done. I believe both Jethro and Moses were seeking the mind of God on the matter. Look again with me at verse 19, and you'll read these words. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. God shall be with thee. And take a look there at verse 23 again. And again, this truth is emphasized. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. And God command thee so. So here was a man giving Moses advice, giving him counsel. But as he gave this counsel and advice, he was wanting God's will to be done in the matter. And as I've emphasized already, I believe that both Jethro and Moses were seeking the will of God at this time and the mind of God in this matter. Secondly, it was God honoring counsel, not only because they wanted God's will to be done, but it was God honoring counsel because Jethro wanted godly men to do this work. Take a look with me at verse 21 there. And you'll read these words. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them. Underline those words in verse 21. These men that were to help Moses and be in a place of government and God's work were to have four qualifications. They were to be able men. They were to be God-fearing men. They were to be men of honesty, truthful men. And they were to be men who would not be bribed. And when you study, of course, church government as it is taught in the New Testament, two things are set forth very clearly. First of all, church government is the will of God. New Testament church government is God's will. But then when you study church government in the New Testament, there are clear scriptural qualifications for those who hold office in the church. Just keep your hand for a moment there in Exodus chapter 18 and turn over to the New Testament to 1 Timothy and the chapter 3. Here we have Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to write to young Timothy, and as he writes to young Timothy, he gives him the qualifications of the elders and the deacons, those who will help in the work with Timothy. Timothy, of course, is the teaching elder, the minister of the church. Look what it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop or the office of an elder, he desires a good work. A bishop or an elder must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil.
Likewise must the deacons, or the committee men, be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So there you can see that the New Testament church had to have godly men at the top. New Testament church government has been given by God to the church for the benefit of God's work, and if it is carried out according to God's word, it will be blessed of God. So you can see here the simple truths that is set forth. And here in Exodus chapter 18, as Jethro gives this counsel to Moses, you can see that he was desiring the will of God for Moses, and he sets forth clearly the type of men that Moses needed in order to help him in the work of the Lord. Now, turn back again to Exodus chapter 18, and you'll notice something else, very simply. This counsel that Jethro gave to Moses, not only was it good, sensible, practical advice, not only was it God-honoring counsel, but of course, when you read the latter part of Exodus chapter 18, you will notice that Jethro's counsel was accepted by Moses. Take a look what it says there in verse 24. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Here we have Moses, and he heeds the counsel of his father-in-law. I want you to notice a number of things here, very simply. Moses was not too proud to take advice. Now, we have already seen in these studies that Moses was a great man of God, a mighty man of God. And you know, many men of such stature would not have taken advice from his father-in-law. But you know, Moses was a humble man. And Moses recognized the benefits of this counsel that he was being given. Moses recognized that it was good advice, that it was wise counsel, indeed, that it was God-honoring counsel. And he accepted it. And of course, as we have read there, he put it into operation. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 1 verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attend unto wise counsel. In Proverbs 12 verse 15 it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And in Proverbs 19 verse 20 it says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And then in Proverbs 27 verse 9 it says, perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And the truth is that there's not one of us here today that could not receive counsel, that do not need counsel and advice, even the most spiritual amongst us. And here we have Moses, the great man of God, and he's receiving this counsel, and he's putting it into operation. I wonder today, as we are gathered in God's house, do we
receive counsel? Are we those who are willing to listen? First of all, could I ask God's people that question? Each time you come to God's house and hear God's word, the word of the Lord goes forth, the counsel of God to your heart and how you should live the Christian life. Do you heed that counsel? Or are you just a hearer of God's word? The Bible tells us that not only are we to be hearers of God's word, but we are to be doers of God's word. Have you heard God's word this week? Have you heeded God's word this week? The counsel that God would give to you from the Holy Scriptures. Many times we read the Bible and we fail to apply it to our own hearts and to our own souls. Oh, child of God, never think that you're above counsel. Never think that you're above advice. Never think that you're above being taught. The truth is, no matter how much we know, there's always something more to know. No matter how spiritual we are, we can always be more spiritual. No matter how much knowledge we may receive, there's always someone out there who can give us advice and counsel on top of what we already know. That's why it is so important, like Moses, to remain humble as we walk with the Lord. We've already emphasized that Moses was a humble man. And there's no doubt that he was a humble man. That's why he was a great man. And of course the Bible tells us that we're to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. If there's a day and age when you and I need not only to read the word of God, but to obey the word of God and to listen to the instruction of the Lord, then it is certainly in this day and age in which we live. But can we not apply what we have here in this chapter to those in our congregation who are not saved? My friend, God would counsel you today. Sinner, have you listened to and received the counsel of God? I want you to keep your hand in Exodus chapter 18. And I want you all to turn over to Psalm 33. And I want you to take a look at verse 11. And especially if you're in the meeting today and you're not a Christian, I want you to underline these words in your Bible. It says this: the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, the advice of the Lord standeth forever. In other words, in every generation, God's word would instruct this world. Instruct the people and give counsel to the people that are in this world. My friend, if you're not saved today, God's counsel to you is very simple. God's counsel to you is that you should repent and believe the gospel. That you should trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. God's counsel to you today is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's counsel to you today is to repent of your sin. God's counsel to you today is to fear the Lord and turn to Him for mercy. God's counsel to you today is to call upon the name of the Lord. That's God's counsel to you. And the reason why God counsels you in that way is because your soul is lost and because you're heading fast to a lost eternity. And you need to change your direction. You need to change your direction. You see, that's why we give counsel. That's why God gives counsel. That's why Jethro gave Moses counsel, so that he would change his direction. Change his way of going. My friend, are you today prepared to change your way of going? Your feet is bringing you to the lost eternity, those of you who are still outside of Christ. And if you continue in the direction in which you're heading, then you will die and go out into a lost eternity. The sad reality today is this, that the majority of unsaved people refuse to heed the counsel and the instruction of God. Turn over just for a moment to Proverbs chapter 1.
Again, I want you to turn to the portion of Scripture because it's very, very important. You've seen there in Psalm 33, verse 11, that counsel, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. He gives advice to all generations through his word. He gives good counsel to your soul. And I have sought very simply to set before you what that counsel is through the word of God. To repent, to believe, to trust Christ, to turn from the direction in which you're going. But as I have said, the problem is that men and women today, in this generation, and every generation indeed, they refuse the counsel of God. Look what God says here concerning that very matter. In Proverbs 1, verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproofs. You see that? There we have the sinner's attitude to the counsel of God. Here we have God speaking and he says, ye have set at naught all my counsel. All my counsel. All my advice. All my instruction. And you've set it at naught. And you would have none of my reproofs. Oh my friend, I wonder, is that the word of the Lord to your heart today? You've come to God's house. And you come on a regular basis, you listen to the scriptures of truth, you listen to the counsel of God. Every time we open up the Bible, we are declaring the counsel of God, the advice of God to you. But up until this moment in your life, you have refused to obey and heed the counsel of God. You're not like Moses. You're not wise. You're not sensible. Moses heeded the counsel of Jethro because he saw the benefit of the counsel that he was given. My friend, do you not see the benefit of the counsel of God to your heart today? If you repent and come and trust Christ as your Savior, you will have your sins forgiven. You will have a home in heaven. The burden will be lifted. And you'll go on your way rejoicing. Because all those who trust and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Would you not want the joy of the Lord in your heart today? Would you not come and trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? And then you could leave God's house this afternoon rejoicing in the Lord. And you could leave God's house rejoicing in what the God of heaven has done for you. I want you to take a look there at verse 28 of Proverbs 1, because there's coming a day when it'll be too late for you to heed the counsel and the instruction of God. It says in verse 28, underline the words, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. A day of calamity. On the day of judgment, it will be too late for you to heed the counsel of God to your soul. It will be too late for you to heed the advice of God to your soul. Too late. And you may call, and you may plead, and you may want mercy on that day, as you surely will. But you will not receive it. That's why the Bible emphasizes that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's why the Bible emphasizes that today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, my friend, I wonder this afternoon, as you're in God's house, listening to God's word, being exhorted again to come and trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer, would you not seek the Lord while he may be found? Would you not call upon him while he is near? Child of God, let us, in this 21st century, heed the counsel of God. The Bible is our roadmap to heaven. The Word of God teaches us clearly how we are to walk, what we are to say, how we are to live. Oh, I pray that in these days in which we live, that we will be wise. No matter how spiritual we may be or how spiritual we may think we are, we've always something to learn. And I pray that even if another brother or another sister comes and says, listen, there's a better way of doing that. And this is the way that we listen to them. And that the Lord will give us grace and humility as we walk in this world below. At the very best we are but sinners saved by grace. And if the great Moses could learn, if the great Moses could take advice, surely you and I can take advice and take counsel from those who would speak to us. Providing, of course, that they're giving us good, godly, sensible, wise advice and counsel. Young people, there's a message here for you as well. Sometimes young people think that older people don't know anything. What would that old man or old woman know? Well, they've lived a longer life than you have, and they would probably know a lot more. In fact, they do know a lot more than you think they know. And never be afraid or ashamed, young person, to take the advice of your elders, because they are thinking about your soul, especially when someone gives you spiritual advice. They perhaps have learned the hard way, and many of us have learned hard ways. But you know, young people, you should listen, because it's good, sensible, wise counsel, especially from a godly man or woman who has come through the valley themselves. Oh, I pray that even this passage of Scripture would teach us and guide us and help us in these days to realize that there's none of us above counsel and advice. Let us all pray.